Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday looking forward to getting back into God's Determination Part 4. So before we do, let's just go over very quickly the purpose of why we do these videos. Number one, we want God to come out of the pages of your Bible. Thank God we have a Bible. I've said this so many places where people would think when I talk about the tangibility of God that I'm taking away your ability to actually study the Word or be in the Word of God. They couldn't be any further from the truth. The first miracle we have today is that we actually have the Scriptures. If you were an enemy and there was an instruction manual on how to find God and give you an imagination and encouragement to have results exactly as you were reading in the instruction manual, wouldn't you want to do away with that? Well, of course you would. And for a period of time in the world's history during the Dark Ages, that's exactly what happened. But aren't you thankful today we have the Bible and we actually can carry the Bible around in our phone, on our technology, as well as we got Bibles in all different sizes, you know, pocket editions, where they didn't have that back in the old days. Even think back to the days of Scripture. You know, I mean, you talk about Paul's writings would be read to one particular town and then passed on to the next town. You didn't have the ability to sit there and study it all day long like we do, break down every single Greek word. You had to be really good at listening so that you could take the part that really meant something to you, apply it to your life. And then what did you have to do? You actually had to believe and trust God to be real to you every single day of your life. That now there was a change in your life and God and you were now buddies. You were friends. You could hang out together. You were in the family of God. You could spend time with Him. You could expect Him to do things for you. This is how people had to live years and years ago. We're so spoiled today with all of our, you know, technology, being able to hear the Bible, you know, in our ear pods, you know, and being able to look on our iPods and look on our, all of our technology. And at the same time, it makes me wonder with all that we have we lost what was actually the most important part? And that was everything that we learned pointing to the person of Jesus Christ Himself. Well, that's number one. I didn't mean to go on that long, but number two is as God starts to become real to you, faith becomes just a natural response. That's what happened in Hebrews chapter 11. They said it was by faith, but the people in Hebrews 11, those patriarchs, they weren't thinking about faith. They were just thinking about responding to the relationship or the encounter that they had with God. And they did. And when they responded to it, so many of them bold, like we're going to talk about today with Abraham, what was the end result? Oh, wonderful miracles. And then Paul wrote down by faith. Well, we took the by faith part and we turned it into its own doctrine instead of just leaving it a part of the relationship with God. If we'll develop the relationship with God and let the tangibility of the Spirit of the Lord begin to become the most important part of our life, I'm telling you, you will not have a problem walking in faith. You will not have a problem getting answers to your prayers. And number three, we want people to be able to walk as a testimony of what God has done for you. Okay, jumping really quickly into our invitation that comes from Jesus, Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30. And you should know this by now if you've been listening. It says, but Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, we're going to jump right back into where we were just in our last session. And we're over here in Hebrews in chapter 6, verse 13, on down to verse 20. There's so much good stuff in here that we're going to have to move forward and then keep coming back to it to allude to it. But you know, you've got Abraham and God cutting a covenant. And it says in here that, you know, that, well, I'm going to read this on this particular part in the King James. It says, when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. And this just simply means when you're in a covenant, wouldn't you rather be in a covenant with somebody who has a whole lot more money than you do and a whole lot more resources than you do? So if you ever get in a pickle or a bind, once you come into covenant where what's yours is mine and what mine is yours, if you're in a covenant with somebody that's a whole lot more loaded than you are, you're going to be able to what? Partake of their resources if you need to. Well, God looked for somebody that was greater than him, and he couldn't find anyone greater, so he swore by himself, which means Abraham and God really didn't cut the covenant together. God cut the covenant with himself on behalf of Abraham. And when he did that, that meant that Abraham wouldn't have any part in canceling the covenant. It was just whether or not Abraham would embrace what was done for him or believe it so that it would become his and he would experience it. Or he could turn it away and not believe it. And of course, you see so many cases in scripture where one moment the children of Israel are believing what God said, and then they see the miracles, and then they would rise up in unbelief and not believe, and you would see the enemy come upon them and overtake them. And of course, that's the way it is in our life even today. What God did for us, he didn't cut the covenant with us. He cut the covenant with his son on the cross. Just like he did with Abraham, he cut the covenant with Jesus. And Jesus and God cannot fail, will never fail. Thank God they're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that gives us the ultimate confidence that what is in this word, what's in this covenant, shall absolutely come to pass 100%. So how do you get that to come to pass? You put yourself right into the midst of the beehive. You put yourself right into the midst of the fight. What do you mean? Well, that's the audacity that A.W. Tozer was talking about when he said real faith is where you put yourself on purpose in a position where you can't go back. You know, if you jumped onto an ice float and it broke away to the point where you couldn't go back to the big main part of the land, then you'd be out there on the water, sink or swim, you'd be out there. And that's, in a sense, what you do with God. You put yourself in a position where God and God alone and what he said is going to come a pass in your life. If not, you'll live or die, sink or swim, go over, go under. I know that doesn't sound real good today, because when you've got options, you always want plan B, plan C, plan X, Y, Z. God wants you to just trust in him. It would do him so good to know his children believe that he can actually come to pass. He can do things and make it come to pass every single time. This is why we're studying this. When God could not find anyone greater, well, he just went ahead and swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. I just have to touch that for just a second. After Abram patiently endured. See, that's where people say, well, you know, God doesn't always do what he's going to do on your time. No, he does it on his timing. Do you know what his timing is? It's called now. It's called the present. God encompasses the past, present, and the future all in one time frame. It's called eternity, and eternity is right now. People say, in fact, we had an individual. She was in one of the churches, and she had vibration going all through her head, all down her back and in her body. We ministered to her, Aaron and I did, and instantly all that vibration disappeared. I looked at her and said, well, praise the Lord. Did it leave you? Yes, it left me. She said, but I've been confessing. I said, well, thank God for your confession. Praise the Lord. But it left you, right? She said, well, it did for now. I said, well, you know, the good news is tomorrow will be now and the rest of your life will be now when you get there. I said, so if it left now, that's God's timetable. You're assured that it will never come back. She said, well, I know, I'm confessing. And so I met her out in, you know, the park or in the foyer, and she still continued to talk about her confession. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, would you confess about your knee? She said, I would if it was flared up. I said, is it flared up? She said, no. I said, do you confess about it? She said, no. I said, why are you still confessing about something that disappeared? I said, do you want it to come back? If you keep confessing about something God already healed, I'll guarantee you it'll come back. You'll bring it right back. Because what you're saying by your confession is, I don't believe that it's actually so. She kind of looked at me with big eyes. I said, you don't need to confess a thing about that anymore. Just enjoy the fact that your body doesn't hum anymore and it doesn't have vibration, that you're free. Folks, can you see it? We got a covenant that gives us the right to stand rock solid. The time frame of God is now. Anything that the covenant has already, through Jesus Christ, produced for you is available today, not tomorrow. Don't look and put it off in the future. When it says here, after he patiently endured, that's because there was a timing attached to this. When the angel gave him the promise, he said, at the appointed time, you will have a son. What does that simply mean? The appointed time was at a time Sarah would be pregnant, and then she would, after 9 months, give you a son at that appointed time. Abraham could not speed up that time, and he couldn't stall that time. It was appointed, so he believed unto that appointed time, and in his patience and perseverance, he stayed steadfast with a promise that God would make him the father of many nations. And the steadfastness of his faith, because of the covenant that was made when God said it, is the reason why he endured. Well, what Jesus Christ has done has produced for us all the results of our covenant. The healing, the health, the deliverance, the safety, the soundness, the preservation. Thank God, the work of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Spirit to walk in health, to walk in prosperity, to walk in the influence of God's grace. That's not something you have to endure to be able to have. That's something that's available right now, here, today. And it is the covenant that you understand that will cause you to put yourself on purpose in that position where you can't go back. Man, this is really good today. I trust that you're enjoying this, that you're getting it. Brother Hagin used to say, I'm preaching real good, you know? Amen. What we're sharing, it's good. I'm getting blessed out of this. I trust you are too. It goes on a little further to say this, for men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. That just simply means when you get into a contract, people, that has no wiggle room, then what is said is what will be produced, or there'll be consequences. Now, God put himself in his own covenant. He cut the covenant with himself. And in that covenant, he gave promises unto man and said, this is what I will do for you. And he put that in a covenant with himself. Let me say it to you this way, as simply as I can. If you see the sun come up in the morning and the sun go down in the evening, you are guaranteed, and we're going to get to a verse that shares this, and God's the one that actually speaks it to his people. You are confident that God has not fallen off the throne, and every single thing that God said in his covenant, he is still backing up to the hilt today. That's what it says in the Message Bible. When God made a promise to Abraham, he backed it to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line. Do you not love that? Folks, I'm going a little slower with this because this is the fuel that makes you do what the world would think to be foolish. The world will look at us and say, you're foolish. You just given your last dollar away in that offering. You're broke now. No. He said, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. No, there's promises that we have in God that says he is. Praise the Lord. He is my stature. He is my fortress. He is my strength. Praise God. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, all these verses that we've memorized are for us to put ourselves in a position on purpose where you can't go back. They're not verses for us to quote waiting for something to fall out of the sky and hit you on the top of the head. I call you Chicken Little if that's actually what you're thinking. No, in the Message Bible says, I'll promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Abraham stuck it out, got everything that he had been promised. Stuck it out means he endured. Why? Because there was a covenant on the line, and he knew there was an appointed time. He was not backing up. He was staying steadfast to his new covenant partner. When people make promises, they guarantee them by an appeal to some authority above them so that if there's any question that they'll make good on the promise, the authority will back them up. That's what God did. He did that on purpose for you so that you would know that He would back you up every single moment of the day. Now, here I am back in healing school, and I remember one time we had a big meeting that was coming where there would probably be somewhere between 1,000, well, there was 1,500 to 2,000 people in my healing services for a full week. Oh man, I was just feeling myself, you know, oh God, you know, I don't feel like I'm qualified to do this. I mean, there are moments where you feel like that. Oh Lord, look at how many people are out there. And I just said with my hand on the door, I said, Lord, these people have heard and saw everything that I have to give them. What am I going to do today? And just like that, an audible voice spoke up in my room. He said, whatever you do, Jimmy, I'll back you up. Well, I got down on the floor and I looked around everywhere. Well, the office space was like about a 10 by 10 room. Maybe it wasn't even that. Maybe it was like a 10 by 6 room, just a little office space. I knew there was no one in there, but I got down on my knees. I looked under the desk like God would be on the floor. How stupid we are sometimes. Looked all around and I stood up and said, Lord, what did you say? And that voice spoke up again and said, whatever you do, Jimmy, I'll back you up. I said, Lord, you didn't say whatever I do that you would back up, did you? He said, whatever you do, I'll back you up. He said, I know your heart and I know your desire is to do my will. He said, I will back you up. Well, right then and right there, that did something for me, folks. I realized God was going to do something for me if I would step out, but I had to be the one that stepped out. So I remember in the service, I said, all right, Lord, we're going to have two miracles today at least in this service. And I went out to that service and I stood up and I said, all right, everybody, you're going to see two miracles take place today. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Two miracles are going to happen. You say, did the Lord tell you what they were? No, He wasn't saying anything. So for 30 minutes, I'm preaching this way, but I'm having a conversation with Him this way. God, when are you going to do what you said you're going to do? All of a sudden, I just got kind of mad because He wasn't saying anything. And here He had just told me He's going to back me up. I jumped off the platform and said, you're going to see your first miracle right now. When I said that, my eyes fastened on this lady that was over to my left. When I looked over her direction, I said, what's wrong with you? She said, I've had fibromyalgia in my body, pain in my body for over 30 years nonstop. I said, well, it's going to disappear right now. I lifted my hand to lay hands on her. And when I just lifted my hand, boom, the power of God hit her. She fell on the floor. She got up. Every single pain was gone. She ran around the room. The ushers ran around the room. And I looked at her and I said, dear lady, I said, if you can't come back tomorrow, if you need anything else, I said, I'll have to minister today. I said, otherwise, tomorrow we lay hands on the sick. She said, well, today's the only day I could be here. I said, well, wonderful. And I didn't register with me what just happened. I went back to preaching. The first thing I said was, how many miracles are we going to see at least today? And everybody said two. I said, that's right. We got one already. We're going to see another one. I went right back to preaching and I kept on saying it. Every 5 minutes or so, I'd get in there and say, well, how many miracles are we going to have today? I'd go through the whole thing again. 30 minutes went by and I'm waiting for God to say something. Still, He's not said anything. And finally, I said, all right, you're going to see your second miracle. I jumped off the platform and I looked, my eyes fastened onto a lady about four rows back into the middle. I said, you're the next miracle. What's wrong with you? She said, I've got bone spurs on the bottom of my heel. I walk on my toes. She said, they're so severe. She said, I'm going to have them removed. She said, I need a miracle. I said, well, I'm going to count to three and you're going to jump up in the air and slam your heels in the ground. I said, it's either going to hurt you so bad or you're going to be healed, one of the two. I said, but God's going to do this miracle for you. I counted one, two, three. She jumped up. She slammed her heels on the ground. And then she just started slamming her heels on the ground one after the other because the bone spurs had disappeared. She ran around the room. The ushers ran around the room. When she came back, I said, lady, if you need something else, come back tomorrow. We lay hands on the sick tomorrow. She said, today's the only day I could be here. Folks, do you see it? When I got bold enough to put myself in a position where God was going to do something for me, notice what He did. He helped me to find the two people that could not come back to have hands laid on them the next day. And they were able to get their miracle right then. The only thing that saddened me once I went back to my office is I thought to myself, Lord, what if I should have said, we'll have three miracles or four or five? God's wanting to do things oh so much so today. The power of God's at your disposal right now. Somebody in your stomach, you're being healed. I'm telling you, that stomach problem is disappearing. You'll never have to have it another day of your life. And you can walk with great confidence. You'll never have to have it another day of your life. Somebody's esophagus is being healed right now in the wonderful name of Jesus. And there's an eye that's seeing right now that couldn't see out of one of your eyes. It's beginning to see. You write us in and let us know the testimonies that we're hearing. JHMI@JimHockaday.com is the email to our website. By all means, subscribe to the YouTube channel Adventures in Grace or go to Jim Hockaday Ministry and follow us on the page. We can't wait to see you next week. God bless you.